Chapter 99. The Outcast. I met Freddy at the Empress Cafe. It was the first time I had been out in weeks, and I felt anxious to be amongst people. The decor was unchanged, with its green floral tiles and paintings of Paris. But Freddy and I had not been the only ones to fall out with the manager, and he had been replaced by a smart and welcoming middle-aged lady, who had brought smiles to the faces of her staff and customers alike. "I went to the convent," Freddy told me, "to find out what had happened to Lucy's son." She pulled back her veil, but the waitress was used to her by now. "They have called him Ishmael." "The outcast," I remembered grimly from my Bible. "I shall change it to Samuel." Freddy poured our coffees from a tall silver pot, meaning, "God has heard my prayers for a child." "You are going to look after him? Mr. Grice is coming with me to collect him tomorrow." Freddy opened her cigarette case and tutted. It was empty. "How did he get involved?" I took out two Turkish and handed her one. My guardian had had my case and flask repaired expertly, though not quite invisibly. "It was he who suggested it." Freddy leaned over the flame of my lucifer. "He came to see if I was all right after everything." She sucked in the smoke and her face lit up, and the pretty girl in her came to the surface. "Samuel is such a lovely boy, March." She smiled. "So affectionate and full of life, and the image of his mother. They had him slaving in the kitchen, but they could not beat him down. I hope you will visit us." "I would love to." I burned my fingers and hastily shook out the match. "Have you seen much of Mr. Grice?" "Quite a lot." I could have sworn Freddy flushed. "He takes me for lunch sometimes to his club." "The Diogenes," I said incredulously. "Where one cannot speak, that must be fun." "Oh, no," Freddy blew out with studied casualness. "A lovely place in St. James's Street, quite cozy." There was no doubt about her blushing now. "Can I tell you something, March?" "Please do." I tried to hide my envy, for he had never taken me to dine anywhere. Freddy spooned in a sugar and slid the bowl to me. "When we got back from St. Philomena's last night," her eyes flicked to mine and then away, "he asked if he might kiss me." She fiddled with her veil, though it was perfectly straight. "I asked if you had put him up to it." "I did not even know he was meeting you." "That is what he told me," Freddy smiled coyly. "And when I said he might, I thought it would be a peck on the cheek." She inhaled from her cigarette. "But it was not." "Perhaps it was mistimed," I suggested, for I knew that my guardian was not a ladies' man. "I do not think so," Freddy laughed lightly. "For it was quite a long kiss." "Freddy told me that you kissed her," I said as casually as I could, over another boiled-to-death dinner. Sidney Grice turned the page of his Art and Science of Mummification book. "Her truthfulness is something you would do well to emulate." He closed his book. "And if I am also to follow her example, I am obliged to confess that I rather enjoyed it."
"I think Freddy did too," I told him faintly.
"In that case, I cannot help but wonder." Sidney Grice reopened his reading matter by slicing a clean butter knife into it. "If she might let me do it again."
A worthier woman might have felt some happiness, and I certainly wished it for them both. But I was like a sleepwalker then, making the right movements and saying the right words, drifting through my existence, and hoping never to awake.